Hi, welcome to Auroville Radio. My name is Sneha and I'm here with Harsh.
Hello, I'm Harsh and we're going to be talking about some topics relating to mathematics and how they can apply to regular life.
Yeah. As you know, I work with here in Auroville with a unit called IPK, which stands for Integral Paradigm of Knowledge. And through IPK, we are trying to bring awareness through the learning methodologies with mathematics, which are basically directly related to your senses. Yeah. So the intention of this podcast and the future ones, which will be coming hopefully soon, we would like to try and pique your interest in how we can perceive mathematics differently. Now, based on that, we actually keep experimenting. I'm an artist who is also a mathematics enthusiast. I love working in pure mathematics. And Harsh here is a volunteer at Swaram, and he also does research in sound and mathematics. So that will be, and we thought it would be a really interesting idea to look at mathematics from art point of view, and also from a real life point of view, that how exactly it affects our daily life. And to do that, we came up with the idea of having workshops on a subject of game theory. Game theory is basically a very huge branch of mathematics, which we rarely discuss, but ironically, we always, use it in a time when we make our daily decisions.
It's just like when you play any board game wherein you have any amount of strategy involved, you're making certain decisions based on how everyone else would be playing.
Exactly.
Which is exactly how regular life, which is exactly how you interact in life. Like, there's people around you, it's all a game end of the day.
Yeah.
And that's where game theory would stem from.
Absolutely.
So being able to make certain decisions based on the interaction of other people, trying to predict how someone else would behave, trying to understand someone else, and then figuring out the best possible way to interact. Could be selfish sometimes, might be selfless sometimes, and that is where different aspects of trust come into play when it comes to human interactions. And game theory is one of the many ways which you can, like, very technically and mathematically analyze these interactions to be able to maybe make the best out of it, but be able to somehow understand the situation better and have things work either in everyone's favor or maybe in your own favor.
I agree. Now, if that sounds really complicated, or there is also a case where you might find it really relatable, let me take you a few steps back to understand what exactly mathematics and what we are learning in schools, or what we have learned, and what exactly is the entire scope of mathematics. So, when we learn mathematics in schools, we start with numbers and their arithmetic operations, and maybe we can go on and understand some rules or regulations about, algebra, geometry. If you end up, pursuing your career in engineering, you might end up learning pre-calculus or calculus, But in the core, in a nutshell, mathematics still remains a language which helps us understand our surroundings. But it is also a tool that you can use when you're stuck with something, in problem solving. That's why this mathematics, this whole huge, vast, globe of mathematics is basically divided into two major sections. One is pure mathematics, and another one is applied mathematics. So pure mathematics is basically, it's like an art, So I am a curious soul who is a nerd, happen to be a nerd, and I'm really thinking about, what if I have a square root of a number which is negative, which doesn't exist? And I start thinking about it, and I come up with strategies and ideas and maybe theorems in the future, and maybe I develop something that is purely mathematical, which doesn't have to do anything directly to real life, and that can be categorized into pure mathematics. which not necessarily have any use in your, it might not affect your daily life directly. But let's say 100 years down the line, some other person who is working in something like fluid mechanics or biodynamics or aeronautic engineering, and they are stuck with some problem which they're not able to solve, they might come across this theorem, which was, or this idea or concept, which was developed 100 years ago by some curious soul, and they can use that strategy to solve their problem. And that is what applied mathematics is all about. You know, so basically, what we are doing these days is we are only working in applied mathematics. All the technological development that you have seen is mainly into applied mathematics. We don't have so many pure mathematicians today, yeah. Unfortunately.
But I agree with what you're saying. Like everyone keeps talking about how math is the language of the universe, but the way I would see it is math can be forced upon anything to understand it instead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's purely imaginary, just like everything else.
Yeah.
Like, you can come up with any, as long as there is some basic set of, there's a basic set of rules or there's a basic understanding for a certain concept, you can come up with anything, make it mathematical.
Absolutely.
And define most things. I wouldn't say most things, but we've defined quite a lot happening around us using math and physics.
Yeah.
Just
even
based on pure imagination.
When we are interacting with person, when we get to know a person, the first thing that we observe is behavioral patterns in that person and try to validate if it works out with us or not. And that's a simple mathematics in itself, isn't it? And game theory is heavily dependent on these interpersonal connections.
Yeah, let's introduce game theory a little. So when it comes to game theory, like, it's just like play, like if you think about playing a game, your behavior has to be, as long as it's a strategy game, your behavior is completely based on the other person's behavior. So in the world of game theory, you would always try assuming that you are rational and your opponent is also, not necessarily an opponent, but for the sake of assumption, let's say the other person is your opponent. The opponent is also a rational player. So every time you make a decision, you have to know what they know. And then they have to know that you know that they know. And this infinite loop is,
can go
is,
on
yeah,
forever.
Like, it goes on, and that is what is game theory. And the deeper you can go with these levels of understanding, the better you can predict
the
outcomes.
Yeah, it actually gives you the infinite sense of ever-growing, evolving process of, you know, strategy or changing, you know. Everything is not stable, but at every point of time, there is a stable scenario where you can make your choices. And depend on what choices you make, the scenario might change or shift drastically, or it might, for good or for worse. And then again, you have to adapt to the new scenario, which is the new reality, and then make the best choice for yourself, and maybe or may not be for others, right? And that is something we do every single day. Let me give you some examples. For example, let's say when you go to supermarkets. So supermarket is a classic example of game theory, where everything is placed very cautiously. The moment you enter supermarket, a child needs to see what they want to see. An adult need to see what they want to see. Everything is kept at eye level. If you, there was an experiment done a few years ago where they have put camera in a child's glasses, you know. And the child was walking through the supermarket, and the only thing that the child could see, which was oblivious, the parent was oblivious to these, were toys and maybe some candies and chocolates and all the stuff that was targeted towards children, you know. And obviously a child is going to see all this, and he's going to be tempted, and which supplements in the purchases of the goods. So it is done based on a very good observations, you know.
On a very simplistic level, I think, to just go down to the absolute base, game theory would simply be based on risk and reward.
Absolutely,
like the
very
basic understanding of the risk that you face and the reward you can get out of a certain situation would define a big part of your action.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, if there is a huge risk, you might not go, you might not make a choice of doing that thing, like, very rarely,
And then you can relate this to most, like, most things in the real, most subjects in the real, real world, say economics. So you can have your stock markets wherein there's a risk reward, like the most commonly risk reward situation which is talked about is the stock market. Like if you invest in a certain stock, what is your risk? What is your reward? And
but then here, it also depends on what your competitors are doing.
Yeah, but like so your actions have to be based on how, like it's not based on if, what the, like one scenario would be where the how the stock performs best would give you a good return, but the other scenario would be if you are able to understand how every other person buying that stock reacts and how they predict a risk reward, and if you are able to predict how they predict it, which is like a rational understanding of their rational understanding,
right?
Which is again the, like going one layer farther than the general rationale of the people,
right,
which would be an application of like game theory.
Right.
Others you could have you can take biological like the food risk, like food resource.
Yeah, I mean like the food chain behavioral patterns of in the animals.
Yeah, because if an animal has to get food but has to fight some animal which is much stronger than it, then its risk is like it might die in the fight and it might, instead of getting the food. So every animal would also have to sort of figure out what's the best combination for them.
They use the best strategy out of that particular situation. Mm. I completely agree with you. And to study all these, I mean, even in field of psychology, you know, when you're dealing with someone or when basically coming back, like game theory talks, it's heavily dependent on interperson. So it's not a singular person thing. I mean, other name for game theory itself is called multi-person decision theory, you know. Mm. So psychology is one of the huge application of game theory where what you're going to say or what you're going to do is heavily dependent on who is sitting in front of you and what they need to hear and what they need, you know, or what they not need to hear. You know,
and here I think we can get in the element of trust and try relating it to game theory, because that is what we've been working on.
That's what we thought was very interesting because trust is like a very common, you know, and very crucial factor in all these, isn't it?
Trust,
whether you trust someone or whether you not trust someone, can change the course of the whole events that might
like
be happening.
Every human, I think a lot of relationships are I wouldn't say solely, but very heavily based on trust.
Absolutely.
Most relationships people have. Entire society is based on how people are able to trust each other.
Yeah.
So maybe first I would like to just try setting a perception, my perception of trust.
Yeah.
Like trust for me would be an imaginary concept which everyone thinks of differently. Otherwise, everyone, like most people would behave very similarly, but based on a certain level of conditioning or a certain way of conditioning, the truth or the trust is very different for everyone.
Absolutely.
Like someone, for something that is true for one person might not be true for someone else, which sort of also leads to an inner
conflict. It can lead to a conflict.
Yeah, a conflict. Sure.
Or at times it can lead to a collaboration.
Hmm.
Like if you really happen to develop that basic trust, then there is a collaboration, and which can lead to a different scenario. Like for example, if you are, if there are 10 people in a room who completely trust each other, and if there are decisions that are to be taken, and they completely trust the other 9 people, the outcomes will benefit everyone equally. But imagine if the trust level is, you know, slided up and down at some point of time, then the rewards that they get at the end of the thing is might also vary, and it might also change. Like people might come out with a different perception about each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like someone might decide to trust a person, and they might get betrayed also, and then that might affect the next.
Yeah,
time they trust someone. So this is a very
person.
Crucial factor, and there is a very good, like, as the years pass, like I always feel that maybe in past people trusted each other more, which doesn't happen these days. Like we don't tend to.
Yeah, we don't trust each
other
at all.
You know, so we thought it would be really interesting to connect these two ideas, like to understand the level of trust. Like, do we have trust for each other at all or not? Or is there any way, if it is less, can we... Can there be strategies which will rebuild this trust? And that's where we took help of game theory. And we conducted a few workshops last month. We started with middle school children, which was really interesting. Like, it's really, I mean, this is something you have to see to believe it. Like, the way they perceive trust is very different than how adults perceive it. Like, their perspective is really broader. Like,
they're much more open. They've not been exposed to as many events yet. Probably. To be able to have a more developed definition of their own inner truth or their truth with
Their, even if they try to betray the trust of someone, it's not like the intention is not like
they were very open to like a lot more things for sure.
Absolutely.
And
it was really fun because we went with the limited set of characters. We gave them broad outlines of what kind of people can there be. Like, there might be a person who might always just, try to break your trust and try to gain maximum profit for himself or herself. Or there might be a person who will always cooperate with you. But then what happens if you meet the person who always betrays first, and then later on you are put up with a person who always cooperates, but you don't know. And then you might end up hurting that person because you're hurt by somebody else before. And that was a very big... like a thought-provoking, I would say, series of events that happened there, where we interacted with different personalities, where we tried to be different personalities, where we tried to be detective and analyze, okay, who are you, and are you going to betray me, or are you going to cooperate with me, and we can mutually get equal number of coins.
I think with the kids, there was a certain level of self-trust, which got defined by an external stimulus, like based on how the other person reacted, their own trust for themselves or their own actions based on the trust they have for themselves was redefined sometimes. But with adults it was a little different. Adults had their own preconceived ideas to which they reacted with much more careful planning, I would say.
Absolutely. They understood the stakes were higher, and they also used their past experiences, which was not the case when it came to younger children, because younger children don't try to really hold that much grudge about to a new person. I think that in my observation. But with adults, we always thought, I mean, most of them started with the cheat strategy, not because they wanted to gain maximum profit out of it, but they didn't want it to get hurt. That was really a big observation out of these two workshops that we conducted for, the only reason to cheat, most common reason came up, because I don't want to get cheated. Just to be safe, if we both cheat, it doesn't hurt anyone. Okay, we are. But if I cooperate and the other person cheats, I can't have that. So that taking that leap of faith was difficult for adults than for children. But at the end of it, did we manage to change the perception?
In certain cases, there was a good amount of evolution of trust,
because there was a
common understanding that people came upon and understood how to just reach a scenario which is best for everyone. And in some cases, people didn't really want to do that, so they wanted better for themselves, and it evolved in a different direction instead. But I think what came out of it, I think what we were trying to learn and think about was more so how the evolution of trust happens, and not like how it would change a certain society or how it would change the interaction between people. And like, maybe on a micro level, first you would define trust for yourself. Like, everyone lives in a very different version of truth, but everyone's living in a version of truth.
Yes, which is their own unique.
Yeah, and then eventually that truth gets sculpted over time and they define it for themselves, either internally or externally.
Absolutely.
Then there would be an element of how their truth would be defined when they are interacting with different people. And since everyone has a different definition for truth, their personalities would be different. Someone might always cooperate with you. Someone might always prefer cheating you. Someone might be a combination of those.
Someone might feel guilty of cheating and then ended up cooperating. That also happened. Like, felt bad that I cheated you, but you cooperated. Okay. Mm-hmm. That gave a guilt trip also.
Yeah.
But then at the end of it, after playing few levels, we managed to make decisions rationally and not based on our guilt or fear. Right. And that was a big takeaway for me. Like, you can't just come with a preconceived standard idea and fixed form of this is how I'm going to behave in the world. Mm. You know, it is always hugely dependent, depends on your own, like what I want to be. Like, if I manage to cheat, then I'm losing trust. And is that the cost I'm ready to bear? And that is a very big question that this game theory put in front. So... yeah, I mean, and also another very big takeaway for me was the interactions and the importance of having multiple interactions with multiple people and how crucial that is, which is fading away in these, real life. Like, we are only interacting either through a social media, through our phones or laptops, but the interpersonal communication. Like, do you remember how it was before when they came for workshop and they hardly knew each other? And at the end of the workshop, when they got to know each other, did you see had more cooperative
trust. Reparative interactions leading to a little
absolutely,
more
absolutely, absolutely.
Trust for sure.
We felt, yeah.
And yeah, less of the interaction, like, since you do not know the other person as well, you're bound to not trust them as much.
Yeah.
But yeah, over time, once you understand how someone else thinks, you can maybe isolate their thought process from yours, give them some amount of, for lack of a better choice of words, benefit of doubt, basically.
It might be a mistake. Why not? Like, it's always good to give a benefit of doubt, to a certain extent. And that really helps
and then it's
the other person.
Really
also.
Interesting for me. It's really interesting to then understand, like, taking this micro to a macroscopic level, understanding how a certain society would function based on these different personalities of people and how trust evolves amongst each one of them. Like, if you have 10 people, each person's interaction with every other person, and then how these 10 people would exist based on the different levels of truthiness that
absolutely.
Each one has for everyone else.
Yeah. The place where the cheating someone doesn't become like a very bad scenario.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as good and bad after that, you know. Like, if you have cheated, if I have a benefit of doubt, okay, I say that, okay, there must be a good reason for you to be like that, and I trust your truth. Isn't it?
So
that fear was gone of getting cheated upon. It's and then I think somewhere the trust was not something that other person needed to give you. It is something that you it emotes from you, you know, and that's where it ended for us, I guess. That okay, I decide to trust you because I'm not afraid of losing if you decide not to trust me in that. You know, it's not my loss. And that's where I think that's where we had more trust in the end. So yeah, it was wonderful in a way.
To
experiences. So yeah, that was our bit about evolution of trust and the game theory. And we would really like to, I mean, if you are hearing this and if you're listening to this and if you like this idea, do connect with us. You can write us at ipk@oroville.org.in. And you can share your views. And is there anything more that we can do in this? Like, did any ideas pop up in your head? We would love to hear them. We would love to hear your views, your comments. And...
have a great day.
This is Oroville Radio, voices from the city of Dome.